The Roman Emperor Trajan took office in the year AD 98, and this new emperor was a friend of Roman soldiers, and he seemed poised to expand Roman influence into the farthest reaches of the known world. His first aggressive step was subjugating the treacherous Dacians, a people fabled to be rich in gold and silver, and who were harassing Roman forts along the empire's northern boundary. But the Dacian king, Decebalus, was a crafty and clever strategist with a proven track record against Rome's legions. As we learned last time, Trajan surged deep into the mountains of what is now modern Romania, but King Decebalus shocked the emperor and led hordes of Dacians, perhaps more than 100,000 warriors, in the opposite direction towards the Roman Empire's now undermanned and exposed borders. How did Trajan rescue the empire from such a terrifying threat, overcome a blunder that could have ended his reign, and discover one of the largest hoards of buried treasure ever found in human history? Find out on this episode of the Pax Romana podcast. Episode 30, Trajan Victorious. Before we begin, I'd like to let you know about two interviews I've done recently, one on Donald Robertson's Stoicism, Philosophy as a Way of Life podcast. It was a great conversation. And then also on The Daily Stoic with New York Times bestselling author Ryan Holiday. And that too was a fun and wide-ranging conversation. So feel free after the end of this episode to go and check those out. The snows fell in Dacia. About 80,000 Roman soldiers dug in for winter in the heartland of their enemy. When the snows finally melted, Trajan would lead them personally to Sarmizegetusa, the Dacian capital, to fight what he hoped would be the decisive battle against Rome's northern foe, Dacia. But that winter was so cold that the wide Danube River, which normally served as a strong northern boundary for the Roman Empire and the border with Dacia, well, it froze over. And the Dacian king, Decebalus, saw a rare opportunity to cross the frozen Danube, take the war to the Roman Empire, and do all of this in the dead of winter, when the drums of battle normally go silent. We know precious few details about the Dacian offensive, but it seems that the river crossing did not go as planned. As I said, the Danube is wide, and evidently the ice was not as solid in some parts as it appeared. Decebalus lost perhaps thousands of soldiers who fell through the ice to frozen deaths. But many warriors still managed the treacherous crossing, and these were joined by members of allied tribes who entered Roman territory from other directions around the same time. And so together, this force, united under Decebalus, attacked the fortified city of Nicopolis on the Danube. Trajan got word of just how badly he had underestimated his enemy. He turned and rushed south out of the Dacian mountains to intercept and to try to salvage what was gradually becoming a big blunder. Fortunately for Trajan, he reached the enemy army before too much damage was done. The resulting battle was a bloody one, with high casualties on both sides, but Decebalus was forced to retreat and sue for peace to save his people. Trajan was surprisingly merciful. He left Decebalus in power, but also left a garrison, and he required the Dacians to aid the Roman military whenever the emperor called on them. Decebalus may have been a deadly enemy, but Trajan was banking that he would be far more useful as an ally. So Trajan let him live and even lent him aid to refortify his territory as a kind of buffer zone on the edge of the Roman Empire. Trajan wanted his troops to be able to cross the Danube freely, and for this, he commissioned one of the most spectacular bridges to ever be built in the ancient world. Still to this day, it is called Trajan's Bridge, over 1 kilometer long. The bridge would span a section of the River Danube nearly the same width. A massive bridge. The project took 2 years to complete, with Roman engineers continually redirecting small parts of the mighty flow so they could pound wooden pillars into the exposed riverbed, then cover them with clay, backfill the gaps between the pillars with stone and mortar, and then finally build up an outer facade with bricks, and then they would divert the river back and do the same about 50 meters down the river. In total, Trajan's engineers raised 20 pillars in this way, and they were about 50 meters tall, holding the bridge high enough to allow large ships to move underneath the wide surface of the river. Unfortunately for us, the bridge no longer survives. It was actually demolished in antiquity by Trajan's successor because he didn't want the bridge to be used by invading armies. But a few parts of the bridge still remain to this day. Several of the pillars are underwater, and occasionally when the river gets low, you can see them. But above the water, always visible, is a nearly 2,000-year-old plaque celebrating the construction of this ancient wonder. It reads as follows: Emperor Caesar Trajan Augustus Germanicus, son of the divine Nerva, high priest, four times tribune, father of the fatherland, three times consul, by excavating mountains and with wooden beams, constructed this road. Well, fresh from his victory in Dacia, Trajan returned to Rome, and there he'd celebrate a triumphal parade and march subjugated Dacians before the crowds. But the war, in fact, was not over. With Trajan back in Italy, Decebalus sat atop one of the richest mining regions in the world, and the Romans had never been able to find as vast treasuries of gold. And so in just a couple of years, the Dacian king had built, once again, a small empire. And in the year AD 105, Decebalus launched a surprise invasion of the Roman Empire. Trajan was left little choice but to finish what he had started. And this time, there would be no mercy. But this was a sentiment shared by the other side as well. Even before Trajan arrived at the border, Decebalus sent assassins to Trajan's camp. These were Roman deserters who were, of course, able to get into the camp without arousing alarm. Fortunately for Trajan, their plot was foiled. Decebalus then turned to guerrilla warfare, frequently picking off Roman soldiers in small groups in forest ambushes. But Trajan continued to levy troops faster than Decebalus could kill them, and soon a swarm of soldiers had gathered at the Danube once again. Decebalus realized that he had little hope for survival, and so he offered terms of peace. But Trajan was not going to let this guy pull one over on him again, and so he demanded that Decebalus give himself up and Trajan would spare his people. Decebalus, of course, refused this offer. But this was a big mistake, because many of his allies at this point got cold feet, and Decebalus's once massive army slowly deserted him even before the decisive battles of this second war with the Dacians. Decebalus retreated to the capital of Sarmizegetusa to await his fate, and Trajan marched straight behind him, besieging the capital and then taking it. Trajan's soldiers must have then began a massive search, not only looking for King Decebalus, who evidently escaped at some point during the siege, but they were also tearing apart the city, looking for the king's legendary hoard of gold. They didn't find the gold, and so Trajan sent soldiers to scour the land for Decebalus. The final moments of Decebalus's life are known, interestingly, because archaeologists have uncovered a memorial marker erected by one of Trajan's cavalry officers, a man named Tiberius Claudius Maximus. Maximus was one of the men sent out to hunt for Decebalus, and on Maximus's grave, we read that he, quote, was made squadron commander by Trajan because he captured Decebalus and bore his head to Trajan. Supposedly, Decebalus committed suicide by slitting his own throat. And so we know what happened in Decebalus's last moments, and we even know the name of the man that found him, Tiberius Claudius Maximus. The fallen king's head was then taken all the way back to Rome, where it was marched through the streets and then tossed down the stairs of mourning. These are stairs, by the way, which the Romans used to deposit bodies of their worst criminals and traitors. They just left them there to rot, to be picked at by birds and torn apart by dogs. It was a humiliating and degrading way to dispose of bodies. But still, we have one part of the story that remains. What happened to Decebalus's famed hoard of gold? Well, in the latter days of the war, the Romans captured a Dacian noble named Bicullus, and perhaps in exchange for his life, Bicullus told his Roman captors a strange story. Sometime prior, Decebalus had used Roman prisoners of war to divert the river that went past his palace. And then not long after this, he diverted it back, and then he killed the prisoners of war. Why did Decebalus do such a thing? Well, the Romans decided to divert the river themselves, and then they took spade and shovel to the exposed bed. After hitting a layer of stone, one which seemed purposefully deposited, they then struck what they had been hoping for. Gold. Decebalus had changed the course of an entire river and murdered dozens of men in order to secret away his vast treasuries. How much did the Romans find? One ancient source reports over 2 tons of gold and 4.5 tons of silver. This number seems outlandishly high. It would be equal to half the gold currently stored in Fort Knox. But even a fraction of this amount would have given Trajan an influx of cash to rival that of any previous emperor, and it was still just the beginning of his reign. Interestingly, Trajan didn't even find all the gold, and to this day, more than a ton of gold has been extracted from the site. So how did Trajan use this gold? Massive buildings, gladiatorial games, ambitious wars to rival Alexander the Great? We'll try all of the above, and we'll talk about it on the next episode of the Pax Romana podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Pax Romana podcast. For more information, including a list of primary sources and further reading, check the show notes. Music by Red Productions and Exocore. Follow Dr. Colin Elliott on X at ProfCPE or email colin@paxromanapodcast.com. Listen to more episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or just about anywhere podcasts are available. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Pax Romana podcast.